Today we're going to talk about studying the Bible, and we're going to be talking about kind of how to do it in a way that you can do it on your own and through these steps that are in your bulletin. If you want to pull out your handout there, studying the Bible really comes down to asking the right questions, asking the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how. You can never really ask too many questions of a text. You just need to keep looking at it and asking questions and questions. Now, there is a danger in asking questions, and that is sometimes we want the text to say more than it does. And that means, you know, we say, well, I really want this text to say this, so maybe it does that. So you can't be reading too much into the text. You can also not take, on the other end of things, you can take too little of the text and say, well, that doesn't really apply to me, or that doesn't really say what it really says. You have to really make sure that you're taking it as a balanced approach and only letting Scripture speak when Scripture speaks. Now, Rick Warren is going to give us four steps today on how to study the Bible. And these, before we get into that, I want to see if you remember what is the guiding principle of biblical interpretation as I have given it to you. Does anyone remember? Context is king. Oh, there's a tear in my eye. And it's not just allergies, which are terrible today. But yes, context is king. Context is king. So you cannot take things out of context when you're reading the Scripture or when you're reading anything else. For example, I've read these instructions. Okay, number one, check the weather. Number two, adjust the indoor temperature. Number three, strip, clean, and dry. And number four, sweep and mop. Now, out of context, that sounds a little bizarre, right? Okay, those are the first four steps to stripping a floor, if you're redoing a hardwood floor, okay? But if I just told you, like, step three, strip, clean, and dry, that is not really going to get you where you want to get, okay, unless you want to get arrested, okay? Now, you have to take things in context, okay? So when we look at the context of Scripture, that's what we need to be looking at. What does the Scripture around it say? When we're looking at the Scripture. So the first step is, what does it say? This is the observation step. What does the Scripture say? And this is simply, you write down what you see. Write down what you see in the Scripture. The second thing that you're going to want to do is, what does it mean? And this is the interpretation. You can't say that the Bible says what it says and that's it. Okay, now you may say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. The Bible says what it says, right? But you have to remember that it wasn't written in English, for one thing. And you have to also remember that every language has metaphors and similes and different expressions of speech. So if I was to say, if I were to write down today that Bubba and I were on our camp meeting and he was really pulling my leg about something. Now, if someone 1,000 years from now read that, would you think that they would understand what that means? That he was just pulling a joke on me or something like that, or teasing me? Or would you really think that it meant he was really in the camp van pulling my leg? Okay, it's the same thing with Scripture. It may say one thing, but we have to make sure that we're interpreting it and understanding where what it says is what it says. Okay, we have to understand the meaning behind it. So the third thing that we're going to look at is, what other verses explain it? Now, this is the correlation. This is the interpretation of letting Scripture speak about Scripture. The best interpretation of the Bible is other Scriptures. Okay, it's a cohesive book. It doesn't contradict itself. Now, there's a lot of places that it looks like it contradicts itself. And those are just further opportunities for study. Okay, it's really, those supposed contradictions are really fun areas for nerds like me to study. But you want to look at the context. This is where looking at the context is what you need to be looking at when you're studying Scripture. No text is an island. You have to look at it in the whole of Scripture and in the whole of the book that it's found in. So the fourth thing is, what will I do about it? That's your fourth step, is application. To study the Bible and to not apply it is pointless. There's no point in studying the Bible if you're just going to increase your knowledge without allowing it to influence your behavior. Now today we're going to look at Philippians, a passage in Philippians, and in Philippians, Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing a letter to the church in Philippi, and the church in Philippi has sent him a love offering, and now he's writing back thanking them for this love offering. So look with me in your on your notes there to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 30. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. So he goes, Paul is in prison, and so he can't come himself, so he wants to send Timothy. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. So basically, Paul wants to hear some good news. He's in prison after all. He would like to hear something good. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. Paul doesn't yet know what his fate's going to be. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. So this is a congregation that Paul is familiar with. He wants to see this congregation. Verse 25. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. So Epaphroditus is the one that was sent by the church in Philippi. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you. And he was very distressed that you had heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So Paul has one sorrow because, where is he? In jail. And another sorrow on top of that would be if his friend Epaphroditus would have died. Okay, he is truly a friend of Paul that they have sent. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him. And then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him with Christian love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. So Epaphroditus truly was there to serve Paul on behalf of the church in Philippi. So the first step that we look at is the observation. What does the text say? And this is quite simple. The first thing the text says is that Paul intends to send two men to Philippi. He intends to send two men to Philippi, Timothy and Epaphroditus. The second thing that we see is that Paul endorses them as role models. He says in verse 20, I have no one else like Timothy. Then he says about Epaphroditus to welcome him and give him honor. So these men were men that were to be role models and to be looked up to by the people in Philippi. So we get five characteristics of these men, and this is just in the observations section. This is just what do we read in the scripture about this. We read first that Timothy is genuinely cares for them and is about what matters to Jesus Christ. Timothy genuinely cares for them and about what matters to Jesus Christ. The second one is that Timothy has, quote, proved himself. In verse 22. Number three is Epaphroditus is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Number four is Epaphroditus has been longing to see you. And then number five, Epaphroditus almost died and risked his life for the work of Christ. That's all just in the observation station. So now we go to the next step, interpretation. What does it mean? And so we look and see, okay, what are these characteristics, and what does this mean for us today in this interpretation? So first thing we see is that a person worthy of honor is caring. A person worthy of honor is caring. Verses 20 and 21 says, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not what matters to Jesus Christ. So Timothy is rare. There's no one else like him in Paul's life right now because he cares for other people rather than himself. How many people today are so focused on themselves that they can't see outside of themselves to care about anyone else? Paul says this is rare to find someone who is so concerned about someone else other than themselves. They are caring for someone else. Timothy is caring for Paul right now as he's in prison. Timothy is caring for the other people in the church. So the first quality that Paul says is important in a person worthy of honor is that the person is caring. The second quality of a person worthy of honor is that they are consistent. A person worthy of honor is consistent. And verse 22 says, but I know how Timothy has proved himself. Timothy has proved himself. He's not wishy-washy. He doesn't flip-flop. He keeps his word. He's consistent. And the question would be, do we have consistency and conviction in our life? In your life, are there things that you'll take a stand for? Because Timothy was one of the men that would take a stand for the gospel of Christ. So a person worthy is of honor is caring and consistent. The third thing that a person worthy of honor is cooperative. We get three relational metaphors here. We get brother, co-worker, and soldier. Brother, co-worker, and soldier. So the first one is brother. And as a brother and sister in Christ, we are a family. We are related as a church because Jesus is our head. Scripture over and over tells us that older men to be regarded as fathers, older women to be regarded as mothers, younger men and younger women as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to recognize that we are a church family, and that's why he calls us brother. He's a brother. The second thing he says is that he's a co-worker. A co-worker, because as a church, we are on a mission. We have fellowship with one another. We work together. We serve together. We live together. We are the church together. We have the same great commandment and the same great commission. And that brings us to the third thing that he says is a soldier. As a soldier, we are on a mission. We are on a mission as a church to attack the enemy and to be standing up for Jesus Christ. And so we are a brother, we are co-workers, and we are soldiers in the Lord's army. So a person worthy of honor is cooperative. He recognizes the needs of other people and is willing to work with other people, with his brothers, with his sisters, with his co-workers, with those in the Lord's army. The fourth thing a person worthy of honor is considerate. A person worthy of honor is considerate. Verse 26 says, I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. Epaphroditus volunteered to walk this love offering to Paul in Rome. And walking this love offering, there were no trains and planes and automobiles for him to take. He had to walk. And when he finally gets there, he's walked so far and has become ill and is so sick that he is to the point of death, it says in the text. Yet his concern is not for his own life. We don't see that Epaphroditus is concerned that he's going to die. He's concerned because he knows the people in the church who love him as a brother, as a co-worker, and as a soldier in Christ are concerned about him and worried about him in his illness. Being considerate means that you care more about other people than you care about yourself. And so a person worthy of honor is considerate. The fifth thing is a person worthy of honor is courageous. Epaphroditus was fearless. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. Epaphroditus was doing the work of Christ. The church agreed to send this love offering to Paul, but someone still had to walk the 800 miles to take it to him. He had a lot of risk taking that, and we see that he got sick on the trip. But he had bandits, robbers, thieves, all of these different things, all of these different elements that could have attacked him or could have slowed him down. Yet he was willing to take a risk, and not take a risk just for the adrenaline rush of taking a risk. He was doing it for the benefit of others, and it nearly cost him his life. If I were to ask one of you to take a love offering to a church 800 miles away and you had to walk, how many of you would sign up for that? One person. That's what Epaphroditus did. This was a big undertaking. He took a risk to save others. He took a risk to save Paul and to give this love offering to Paul on behalf of the church at Philippi. So a person worthy of honor is caring, is consistent, is cooperative, is considerate, and courageous. And we've learned this just by looking at the observation and the interpretation of the text. Now the third step is to look at the correlation. What other verses explain this text? And these men are mentioned in other scriptures. There's two whole books about Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. They're also mentioned in Acts and in other places in Philippians. The next thing you would look at is, are there other places that these qualities are mentioned in Scripture? Where does the Scriptures talk about caring, being consistent, being cooperative, being considerate, and being courageous? This is where a good concordance will come in handy. One that's free for you to use and is online is Bible.com. And this is the YouVersion app. It's also on your phone and Android. And it's a really good application for you to use to read Scripture. It has Bible plans on there, reading plans if you want to read through in 90 days, in a year, if you want to read chronologically, and if you want to study things like these words. If you type in the word caring, for example, it'll pull up all of the Scriptures that have to do with caring and giving care to someone. So this is a great application if you don't have it. It's free, and you can get it at Bible.com or on your app store. Okay? This is a great way to help you do the Bible study. The final step is number 4, application. What will I do about it? Because again, if you just read the Scripture and don't do anything about it, then it's a pointless exercise. What would you do about the passage you just studied? And you need to do something that's practical, possible, and provable. Something that you can do. Something that you can really do. And give yourself a deadline for it. So some examples could be from this passage. The first one is, verse 29 said, give him the honor that people like him deserve. So one thing you could do is, this week, give someone honor for what they deserve. So who in your life exhibits these qualities of caring, being cooperative, of being courageous in your life? Maybe give them a note, give them a call, thank them for having these character qualities. Okay, there's lots of ways to give someone honor. And if you've ever been given honor for a character quality, that's something really special that you hold on to. So if you see these qualities in men and women in your life, honor them. Tell them, I really admire your courageousness. I really admire the way that you are cooperative. I really admire the way that you do fill in the blank. The next thing is that you want to look at these 5 characteristics and think, okay, which one of these characteristics do I really need to work on? And rather than say, I'm going to work on being caring, what you want to do is do it much more simply. You want to say, okay, this week, because you don't want it to be a big, long, audacious goal that you're never going to reach. You want to say, this week, Lord, open my eyes to help me be more caring. If those are those 5 things, that's the one that you need to work on. And so you're going to ask God to open your eyes. Lord, show me how I can be more caring this week. And if you really make that your prayer, God is going to show you ways that you may have not been acting caring in the past in similar situations. And he's going to give you opportunities to be caring as the week progresses. And so you want to look for opportunities that you can be caring. Look for ways you can be courageous. Look for ways that you can be cooperative. Now we've looked through this passage and it's taken us 15 minutes to go through and really get to some of this meat of this passage that maybe you would have just skipped over in the past. Okay, and so what I want you to do this week is look at James chapter 1 verses 2 to 16, which is on your outline there, and go through these 4 steps. Go through the steps of observation, interpretation, correlation, and application, and look through this, spend 15 minutes, use the Bible.com application, and look through James 1, 2 to 16, and look it through and see what does God want to teach you through this passage of James 1, 2 to 16. All right, let's have a word of prayer. God, I thank you that you have given us Scripture. I thank you that you have given us the ability to read and to understand and to meditate on your word. God, I pray that we would take seriously the gift that you have given us in the Spirit and the gift that you have given us in your word. And I ask and pray, God, that we would use the freedom that we have in this country to actually read and study the word and to gather for worship and to do some of the things that those in other countries just can't do, God. We pray that you would give us the willpower and the spirit power, really, God, to just fill our minds with your word. Help it to be something that we look forward to reading. And God, not only reading, but applying and applying to our lives. We thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.